Psalm 51 inside your bulletin.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you.
Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing out of your righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise.
For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise.
Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem.
Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. O death, I will be your death. Hell, I will be your destruction. They shall mourn for him as for an only son. For the Lord who is innocent has been slain. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound.
For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands.
O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep.
Our senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this.
When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, for behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered.
At my horn you have exulted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil.
My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing.
To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. They shall mourn for him as for an only son, for the Lord who is innocent has been slain. Look, all you nations, and see my suffering. Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemies. Who sharpen their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows bitter words.
That they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear.
They encourage themselves in an evil matter.
They
They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded.
So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away.
All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider his doing.
The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory.
Look, all you nations, and see my suffering. The gate of hell, deliver my soul, O Lord. I said in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent.
I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom, from day until night you make an end of me.
I have considered until morning. Like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night, you make an end of me.
Like a crane or a swallow, so I chatter. I mourn like a dog.
My eyes fail from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me.
What shall I say? He has so spoken to me, and he is the first of it.
I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Indeed, it was for my peace that I had great bitterness. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. The the living, the living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. From the gates of hell, deliver my soul, O Lord. Psalm 150. By the way, look and see whether there's any suffering like my suffering. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp.
Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes.
Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
O all you who pass by the way, look and see whether there is any suffering like my suffering. The epistle reading for Holy Saturday is from the third chapter of 1 Peter. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from St. Matthew's Gospel, the 27th chapter. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Here ends the reading. The responsory on page 212. "We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered after death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered unto death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. The hymn is 731 on the yellow sheet. The pain, the sorrow, human taunts and Satan's spite, death shall be despoiled tomorrow of the prey he grasped tonight. Yet once more his own to save, Christ must sleep within the grave. Fierce and deadly was his anguish. On the bitter cross he bore. How did soul and body languish till the toss of death was o'er? But the toss of fierce and dread bruised and crushed the serpent's head. Close and still the tomb that holds him, while in brief repose he lies. Deep the slumber that enfolds him, spare thou all from mortal eyes, slumber such as needs must be after hard-won victory. So this night with voice of sadness grant thee anthem soft and low, loftier strains of praise and gladness from tomorrow's harp shall flow. Death and hell at length are slain. Christ has triumphed, thus does reign. Our sermon text is from Matthew 27. Verse 59 to 60. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. St. John records in chapter 12 that the Jewish leaders remained opposed to Jesus. Verse 37 says, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him." However, that is not the whole story. Just five verses later, John tells us, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." There were some members of the Sanhedrin who believed. Two of those men were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Now, though it sounds as if they had been cowards, we learn from St. Luke that at least Joseph had not consented to their decision and deed. Now, just exactly how Joseph did this, we do not know. Nevertheless, the actions of Joseph and Nicodemus was nothing short of heroic. God uses these wealthy religious men to provide a tomb and a burial for his son. If nothing had been done, Jesus' body would have been taken down by the soldiers and thrown into a common pit with the bodies of the two robbers with which he had been crucified. Joseph took charge of the situation. He spoke with the centurion to delay the removal of the body. He went to Pilate and secured permission to take the body. Joseph got the linen cloth while he had Nicodemus get some spices. It would have taken several people to move the body. Joseph offered his newly carved tomb for Jesus' body, and thus the prophecy of Isaiah 53 was fulfilled. "For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." The rich man's tomb was completely without the odor of death or the smell of decay. Acts 2:27 says, "Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Now we know that Jesus' body did not decompose at all. He was without sin and death could have no hold on him. It was convenient that by the absence of any previous bodies, this fact was firmly established. Similar to the smell of a unmistakably new car, the aroma of Joseph's grave never smelled like a grave. The smell of the 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes were not covering up the stench of death. In fact, I tell you that Jesus' grave was not really a grave at all. It was a sweet-smelling garden. The grave was not the final resting place of the dead. Jesus' body only lay there for 36 hours, part of 3 days. They didn't really need a grave. Maybe only to rent a small cave with a stone shelf for the weekend. That is not a grave. And later in the text, we see that a guard was placed at the tomb. I mean, who guards a dead body? This is certainly not common fare. Now Luther says this, "For just as the Lord Christ's grave had to become vacant and not stink, but become lovely, glorious, and beautiful, so also must the graves of the Christians become vacant and not stink." Yes, we must learn. We must learn to speak according to our faith and not according to our eyes. We only know too well that death is a detestably unclean thing, but we should not dwell upon it. All the while, we give thanks for the funeral directors, but let us direct our attention to the Word of God. We know about the resurrection of the body from the dead and life eternal. We have a Savior who has defeated sin, death, and burial. If we knew the date of Christ's return, well, we would only need to rent the casket and the vault until He returned. Our grave is not our final resting place. We shall receive our body back, and that in good condition. Though the devil had set a guard, it didn't do much at all. Just as the guard couldn't hold Christ in, so the devil has no hold on us. The Heavenly Father sent an earthquake to dislodge the stone from the entry of the tomb. And yet the Father's action wasn't designed to set Jesus free, but to allow entry for those who came to see the place where He laid. Even before the stone was gone, Jesus was made alive, descended to hell to preach to the spirits in prison, as today's epistle declares. On the day of Jesus' burial and rest in the grave, we must learn to speak of death as a sleep. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at His coming. Christ, our head, has come out of His grave. He came out first. And we who have fallen asleep, we are His body. We will soon follow. Our grave, it will be empty as well." We must learn to speak of death and the grave as a garden. Jesus told the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Didn't Adam and Eve live in the Garden of Eden, a paradise? Was it a sweet-smelling place, like the soothing fragrance of 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes? Yes, yes, we are going to a garden of life. Psalm 4, verse 7 through 8 says, "You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." I conclude with stanza 3 of the hymn, "All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night." It says this, "Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die that so I may rise glorious at the awesome day. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Christ, for our sakes, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. The Benedictus, page 217, we stand. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly implore you that as you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help we may bring the same to good effect. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Shed your Holy Spirit upon your people, O Lord, and make ready our hearts this day to keep your holy word, that in the communion of your congregation we may rightly sanctify your holy day, and through your word with all your saints come to eternal blessedness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the family of Priscilla Cruiser, who fell asleep in Jesus at 2 a.m. this morning. We ask that you would comfort them with the news of the death, and particularly the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power. Grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.